You'll stand with me. Take your Bibles
this morning and turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. We're going to read through verse 45. Starting in verse 26, it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days, and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this time that we have. And Father, I pray that each one of us has come prepared to hear from your word. I pray, Father, that each one of us has come wanting to meet with you today and have you speak to each one of us personally. And I pray, Father, that you would be lifted up and glorified. I pray that you would increase, that I would decrease. I pray, Father, that you'd put the very words in my mouth that I need to preach today. I pray that you would give me boldness to proclaim your word. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish now, for it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So this Mother's Day, I want to look at Jesus' mother, Mary. I want to see some of the many difficulties as well as the blessings that she had faced. I came across where I got the title for this poem. And I'm going to read it to you. It says, I've never made a fortune, and it's probably too late now, but I don't worry about that much. I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's way, I'm reaping better than I sowed. I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflowed. Haven't got a lot of riches, and sometimes the going's tough, but I've got loving ones around me, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for his blessings and the mercies he bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflowed. I remember times when things went wrong, my faith wore somewhat thin, but all at once the dark clouds broke, and the sun peeped through again. So Lord, help me not to gripe about the tough rows that I've hoed. I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflowed. If God gives me strength and courage when the way grows deep and rough, I'll not ask for other blessings. I'm already blessed enough. And may I never be too busy to help others bear their loads. then I'll keep drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Author unknown. Mothers or nurses, psychologists, counselors, chauffeurs, mediators, coaches, teachers, and disciplinarians. Mothers do a lot. They wear a lot of hats. They have the hats of a cleaning lady, a gardener, a lawn care specialist, and cooks. Mothers also give cuddly hugs. Mothers are very important. But most importantly, mothers, I think, is the first link to God and God's love as they spend time with their children and show that impression of God's love to them. Mothers drink from their saucer because their cup has overflowed. Now, most are thinking, Pastor, you've gotten out of your mind. This is not a scripture text that we would use for Mother's Day. Wrong time of the year, right? Some people think that certain scriptures should only be preached certain times of the year. And I'm not one of those, obviously. And so I'm looking at this because I want to look at some of the things that Mary faced. She had some obstacles, but she also had some blessings. Isn't that true in every mother's life? There's some obstacles. There's some blessings. Lord willing, the blessings far exceed the obstacles, right? But we have that. So first I want to look at the many difficulties that Mary faced. Mary faced some pretty big difficulties, as a matter of fact. She was pregnant and she was not married. A huge difficulty, right? Now, people would say, today that's not a big deal. In Mary's day, that was a huge deal. And by the way, when I was younger, it was a big deal. That's not that many years ago. We've come a long ways, haven't we? To where it's not a big deal. In fact, people flaunt the fact that they have no husband and yet they're having children. They flaunt that in people's faces. I remember one time going to the doctor with Terry and they asked him if he was married. He said, I've never been married. Do you have any children? He said, I told you I'd never been married. And she said, that doesn't make any difference. He said, it does according to the Word of God. See, nowadays, we don't think that's a problem, right? The sad part about that story is amongst God's people, it's no longer a problem. And it should be. See, Satan wants to ruin the family unit, and he's doing a good job of it because he's got people convinced, brainwashed, even God's people, that it's okay to have children out of wedlock. He's got them convinced. This could have been tragic for her. Could tarnish her reputation. So on the surface, it looks pretty bad, right? Aren't you glad you got the rest of the story? Aren't you glad you know the rest of the story? I like the rest of the story. I like the way things end most of the time. Sometimes I even start at the end, just to see how it ends, right? See if it's worth reading the whole rest of it. We need the rest of the story. It's interesting how we'll take and we'll look at this. Oh my goodness, here's Mary. She's not wed, and yet she's pregnant. This is terrible, because you only have part of the story. You need the rest of the story, right? Can you imagine what it would be like without the rest of the story? Can you imagine what it would be like for her growing up in Nazareth? What do you think those people thought? What do you think they thought? Here's Mary, and I'm going to say they probably didn't believe the fact that this was of the Holy Ghost, right? They probably didn't believe that this was the child of God. This was God's only begotten Son. They probably didn't believe that story because Mary's just another teenager, right? Just another nobody. How could this be? Can you imagine what it would be like for her? And I got to tell you, juicy gossip, especially in a small town, will travel very quickly. very quickly. Can you imagine? Here is this unmarried girl, and she probably, the moment somebody heard it, it was probably through the entire town, right? Gossip travels fast. It's not good that it travels fast, but it does. I bet they enjoyed talking about this circumstance that Mary was in. Can you imagine all the ladies of town getting together for their tea and talking about Mary, pregnant and not married? The second thing she experienced was her poverty. The book of Philippians tells us, let's turn over there, Philippians 2, 7 and 8. Tells us that Jesus was rich in heaven and became poor on the earth for our sakes. Philippians 2, verses 7 and 8. Verse 7, it says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We probably don't realize just exactly how poor Mary was. Mary and Joseph were poor. Jesus was brought to the temple as a baby for the first time, for his dedication to God. Mary and Joseph offered two doves in the sacrifice. This was the sacrifice of the poorest of the Judean people. The poorest of the poor. It's quite possible that some of us here today grew up poor. Some of us probably didn't realize it at the time. I know I never realized that we were poor. I just noticed that other people had shinier things than we had, but I didn't think of us as poor. I mean, I would never have said, yeah, we're poor folk, you know. I would not have looked at it that way. Our needs were met. You know, maybe the neighbors were barbecuing steaks and we were barbecuing hot dogs, but I didn't see any difference with it. When you're a kid, a hot dog's just as good as a steak, you know, you don't know any different. We didn't think differently about those things. But here they were poor. And we think of poor as we just don't have what we want, right? But I'm talking about poor as in comparison to others in your society, your area. You know, in the United States of America, poor is richer than most nations out there. We have to understand that we live a lot better than a lot of countries do. As I mentioned during the Sunday school hour, we got a letter. One of them is saying they have 15% inflation, and the poorest of the poor are finding it very difficult to feed themselves. 15%. Let's not think that's terrible, because we might be there here. But we're still going to be doing better than they are. It's sad. I can tell you one thing we never lacked at our house, though. There was love in our home. Love is free, by the way. Doesn't cost anything. Love is a choice. You choose to love. So love was free. And it's much better than money. People say, well, you got to have money. Well, in the long run, love is much better than having money. Third thing that Mary faced in her difficulty was the hatred of the people for her child. The hatred of her people for her child, even at his birth. Even at his birth. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. In verse 13 of Matthew chapter 2, It says, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Even at his birth, they hated him. The prince of the darkness of this world, Satan himself, set in motion everything at his command to do away with Jesus. He tried. Found out that Jesus was more powerful than he was. He tried. Even today, Satan knows that the easiest way to destroy a family is to attack the children. Attack the children. These children don't have the maturity to deal with Satan, and so they'll succumb and they attack the family through the children. It's sad, but that's what happens. Children need to be protected, especially in their vulnerable years. We need to watch over them and take care of them. They need to be instructed. They need to be monitored, especially what they're watching on TV. I have to tell you, when I was a child, you could put the TV on and not worry about what was coming across the screen. We're not talking a lot of years ago. When my kids were children, I could put the TV on and not worry too much about it. Today, I wouldn't put a child in front of a TV. You have no idea what's coming up next. And I don't care if they call them cartoons. I don't care what they call them. Trash is trash. Then we have the internet. You have to be careful monitoring what's on the internet. You have to be careful who their friends are. You have to be careful in this day and age. Do you know the internet? I found this, that over 50% of the searches on the internet are adult sites. Isn't that amazing? Over 50% of the searches on the internet are for trash. The internet's not a bad thing. It's not. But it also doesn't have just truth on there. It has a lot of garbage, a lot of trash. We need to be careful. Another difficulty that Mary faced was the fact that at some point in her life, Joseph was no longer there. Now, we have no idea because we're not told exactly what happens to Joseph and all, but the last time you hear about Joseph is over when Jesus was 12 years old. After that, you don't hear about him anymore. Something obviously happened to Joseph, and some scholars say that it was in Jesus' early teen years that Joseph has died. Now, do I have that for sure? No, I don't. But why do you not hear anything more about Joseph after he's 12 years old? There's nothing in the Bible. Which leads you to believe that Mary was a single mom. Another issue, right? Today, as I said, that seems to be no problem. And it's not because they were married and had children and the husband died. Today it's because they chose not to get married and to have children anyway. The problem today is that children are being raised with one parent instead of two. The problem today is that children are being raised with what Satan has set up as the family unit, which God said is an abomination. These are all problems in society. The reason why God set things up the way He set them up was because that was the perfect way. man has decided to take the perfect way and destroy it. So we have issues with those things. Now, if you've been married and ended up a single mom, my hat's off to you. It's hard to raise children as a single parent. It's hard to raise children with two parents. I can't imagine what as a single parent. And it happens. It happens. Mary certainly had her share of difficulties. She had to overcome these. But she had some very valuable, blessed resources also. Mary was certainly a mother who drank many times from her cup, from her saucer, because her cup overflowed. She had a strong commitment to doing the will of God. In Luke 1:35, it says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." God was with Mary. Obviously, God would not have chosen her to carry His only begotten Son as He entered into this world in form of human flesh if God wasn't going to be with her. So God being with her, absolutely no harm could come upon her. In verse 38 of our text, we see that Mary gave her response to God in prayer. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Mary said, "I'm willing to be that vessel that you want to use to bring glory and honor to you, Lord." See, Mary was a willing vessel. If Mary had said no, could God have gone out and got somebody else? He could have. He could have. That's why I have this problem with people saying, "This church wouldn't survive without me." Can God not go out and get somebody else? "This business would go under if it wasn't for me being here." Could God not raise somebody else up? See, we think there's some out there, "This nation would never survive without our president." Could God not raise up another one? I'm just saying. See, we start thinking we're something, and we're not, because God could raise somebody else up. But what God said is, "I want you to be a willing vessel for me to use to bring glory and honor to me, not to you." And Mary said, "I'm willing, Lord. I'm willing." Mary was willing. Jesus, Mary's own son, is the Word, willingly and creatively dealing with Mary, His own mother. As Jesus, being God Himself, became part of His own creation into the flesh. Into the flesh. There's no conflict whatsoever with eternity past and eternity future. There's no conflict in eternity past with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They all work together perfectly. And they found a willing vessel. That's what God's looking for today. And I'm saying this not just to mothers, but to men and women and children. God wants to use everyone. He just wants us to be willing. Mary knew that that baby inside her was God's only begotten Son. She knew that. Yeah. When God places a child in a mother's arms, He does that. And He expects them to bring up those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord so that they will know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He does that. They're to know God. They're to know God's Word. They're to be raised that way. Mary also had a strong commitment to God. And she also had a valuable resource of Jesus, who was the perfect, obedient child. People say that could be a blessing and a curse, right? The perfect, obedient child. In Hebrews 4:15, turn over there, please. Hebrews 4:15. Says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." We don't have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we do have one who was tempted just like we are, and yet was without sin. Mary had the wonderful blessing of a child who was obedient. Can you just imagine? All parents in the world, I want that obedient child, right? I want that child who does exactly what I tell them to. I want that child who I never have a problem with. Well, there was only one. There was only one. Jesus was that perfect child. Could have been a difficult situation for Mary. Can you imagine having your stepchildren, I mean your, however that works, half brothers and sisters, and you're the perfect obedient one, and they're always trying to figure out how to get you in trouble, and it doesn't work? It's frustrating for them. And of course, that's got to be frustrating on the mom because the kids are frustrated and things aren't going so well. But Jesus being perfect, the perfect child. His siblings weren't. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. But we need to do the best that we can. And children, you need to be the best kids that you can be. In fact, the Bible tells us that we need to be a loving, obedient child. Yeah. In fact, God commanded children when He said, "Children, obey your parents." Said to do that. And they think, well, why? Well, the Bible does go on to say that your days on this earth may be long. See, it's a command with a promise attached. We need to be obedient. But we don't always do the right things. We're not without sin, like Jesus was. And it's not as easy to be obedient to our parents. But we're supposed to be. And by the way, that doesn't just mean when you're in the home. Even as adult children, you still need to be obedient to your parents to some degree. People say, well, what if they go contrary to the Word of God? God's Word trumps all of that. But I have this problem. It came from spending 8 years in a nursing home preaching and seeing that children would drop their parents off in the nursing home and leave them and never come back. I had a lady at the nursing home we kind of adopted as our family. We never saw. She was in the same room as my mom for a very short stint, but then we kept checking on her every time we were there. Never once, the whole time we were there, did we ever see any of her children show up. So on her birthday, we'd planned a birthday celebration for her and t- told them we wanted to reserve the dining hall and all, this little special room that they had for special occasions and all. Brought her a cake and everything and brought food for her. We asked her what she wanted. We went out and got it and brought it in and all. And her son showed up with a bag from Burger King to celebrate her birthday. And we felt terrible because we had no idea he even existed. She never spoke about him because he never came. We asked her later, why did you not tell us about him? He's got such a busy life, he doesn't have time to come visit me. I don't believe that that fits with what God says we're supposed to do. You don't discard your parents when they get older because you don't want to deal with them anymore. But that's what we as a society is doing. You need to be careful. So we need to obey our parents. We did talk a little bit about Joseph. He was extremely valuable to Mary. He was supportive of her. He could have divorced Mary. He could have. Instead of marrying her, he could have divorced her. He could have said, I'm done. In the Jewish custom, he could have said, and he had the legal right to put her away. He would have done it quietly and secretly as soon as he found out she was with child. But he didn't. Joseph didn't do that. He was a caring and supportive man in Mary's life. He was there for her when she needed him. Then verses 39 through 45 go on and tell us about a bonus resource that Mary had. She had her cousin Elizabeth. She had her cousin. Elizabeth was a source of encouragement. Elizabeth is the mother of John the Baptist, as I read, the forerunner of Jesus, who when he was a grown man liked to dip his grasshoppers in wild honey before he ate them. It's good to have a trusted friend that you can talk to. It's a good to have that. When we think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, we automatically think of how she was rewarded for her faithfulness as a mother. Mary was saddened at the foot of the cross, but she was there at the empty tomb to see Jesus resurrected from the dead. She was there in the upper room when the 120 gathered to pray and the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. Mary lived to see her other children accept Jesus as Savior. Can you imagine? They had to accept their half-brother as Savior. And then Mary passed from life into death. God rewarded her eternally with all the riches in heaven. By the way, those riches of heaven are promised to anyone who accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior. When you think of your mother, do you think of home? Think of my mother and I think of growing up. I always remember the smell of cookies in the oven. I remember different things as I was growing up. Remember my mom, some of you don't have this because they don't do this anymore for the most part, but she'd wash the laundry and they'd take it out and hang it on the clothesline. And then you'd bring it in, and it had a different scent to it because it was out in the fresh air. I remember many times her going, oh no! And out the door she'd go, and you'd see her grabbing all the stuff off the line because it's starting to rain. But I remember those things. Banana pudding. Fried chicken. I remember those things. I remember she always had fresh coffee. She was a coffee drinker. She liked her coffee. How about you? Do you have some memories? Some memories of mom as you're growing up? It's amazing how we all have memories. Hold on to those memories. If you're fortunate enough to still have your mom here, cherish the memories that you'll be making now that you'll remember later. Enjoy those memories. So mothers drink from their saucers because their cup has overflowed. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning we thank you for mothers. Father, they have such an impact on our lives. Father, a mother's love is such a wonderful thing to experience. But Father, we know that mothers love us only because you first love them. Father, we thank you for this account of Mary and Jesus and Joseph and how you've designed the family to be. Father, we thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Even his half-siblings realized he was the Savior of the world. Father, my heart's desire this morning that is if there's someone in our midst this morning that's never accepted Christ as Savior, I pray today would be that day. Father, for those of us who are born again, I pray, Father, that we realize who Jesus is, what he's done on our behalf, what he continues to do for us, and that he only wants for us to be vessels, willing vessels to be used of him. So, Father, we'll have a time of invitation now. We'll turn it over to you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll stand with me if you're able. As the piano plays this morning, if you need to come, you come. What better gift to have for your mothers is that they know that their children know the Lord.